Hi there, and thank you for joining us. This is Three Guys Before the Game, the post-Oklahoma edition. We welcome you in. The gang is assembled. Hoppy Kirchival is here. The Senator, Brad Howe, is here. And coming up on our program, we will pull apart West Virginia's regular season finale against the Sooners of Oklahoma. West Virginia falls short in its bid to earn a spot in the Big 12 Conference Championship game in one of the most memorable games, I would say, in school history. And that's 127 years of football. For those that were there, for those that watched it, they saw two teams go back and forth at a level that had only been seen once before in that stadium's history, and really in school history, the 70-63 game against the Baylor Bears. This one ends up 59-56. Oklahoma wins it. Oklahoma to the championship this coming weekend against the Longhorns of Texas. And West Virginia will now await its bowl fate. Good day, gentlemen. Where shall we begin as we walk down the diving board and we jump into the golden blue sea?
Well, I'll pick up on that sea theme. Tony, one of the most beautiful parts of the world are the Cliffs of Moher in Ireland.
Very dramatic. Not where I thought we would start.
Very dramatic scenery. And as you walk along the Cliffs of Moher, you say, this is the most spectacular scenery I've ever seen. And it's you see it in motion pictures. You see it in all the travel posters. And it's a long walk. It goes on for miles. And you're taking in this incredible dramatic beauty. And then you get to the end and you slip and fall over the cliff. And suddenly the cliffs don't look so good anymore. And that's what it feels like, because 8-4, 8-3 doesn't mean anything. Going to a bowl game doesn't mean anything, because you have fallen off the cliff and you failed to reach the expectation. That's what it feels like.
Senator, are you going to go international with your thought?
I don't know that I can follow that.
Cliffs of Moher.
It was very eloquent.
Very nicely
I'll
done.
Just say it this way. In terms of disappointing ends to seasons, when you have two opportunities to get yourself, play your way into a Big 12 championship, and you go 0-2, that's disappointing. But look at these numbers, guys. You scored 97 points in those two games. You had 1,257 yards of total offense and gained 6 turnovers in those two games and came up short, came up 0-2. And I know we'll have time to get back into both those. So I'm just left with, if you're a Mountaineer fan, you've just got to be incredibly disappointed the way the last 2 weeks have gone, and Friday in particular.
Yeah, this one will leave a mark. This one, I think, will leave a feeling in your Mountaineer soul of what could have been. And I don't think that will ever go away. I think as you characterize teams and seasons, right, we have our moments that you take. This team at this point, and I don't know how much it could possibly could change from here on in, is going to be the team that could have.
Mm-hmm. And it's going to be remembered in this real paradoxical way, because you're going to remember Will Grier and those receivers and just some incredible plays. And again, you might not see the likes of Will Grier and that receiving core together, that assemblage of talent, ever. I mean, it's quite possible you won't see that ever again in our lifetimes. Yet you fall short. So it really has this tremendous paradox to it.
Well, it's also, to make another parallel, back to Oklahoma in 2012. We still talk about Tavon's unbelievable performance, rushing performance, wide receiver with the single game rushing record. But we always temper it with, can you imagine how much we'd talk about that if that was a win? Similar. You mentioned Sills had a great game. Jennings went nuts for 225. Grier throws for 539. They went for over 700 yards of offense in this game, just like they did in 2012. In fact, it's the last time West Virginia put up 700 yards of offense. That was in a loss as well to Oklahoma, one of the great offensive performances that you go, but it wasn't a win. And this one had even more riding on it because you had an opportunity to get in the Big 12 title game.
There are when you have almost have 120 points scored in a game. By the way, for those of you that had bet the over, congratulations. The casinos had to
and
take a bath.
And those of you that didn't, what were you thinking?
Senator, casinos take a bath on that? Was it how many percent?
It was mostly public money, so I'm sure they too big of a bath.
I mean, that doggone thing almost hit at halftime.
It was trending. Hit in the third quarter,
so it was trending. So let's pull the game apart a little bit here. everyone has their thought, and we've talked with folks, and people have come up to, I'm sure, you guys over the last couple of days saying, why would they do this? How could they call this? How couldn't they call this? Can you believe that this happened? In your view, and we'll start with you, Hop, in your view, what were the or what was your deciding factor in the game?
The two fumbles returned for a touchdown. I mean, there's the game because there's 14 points. You could conceivably in this day and age give up 45 points and win the game, and you would have. But how often do you see two scoop and scores in a game? Almost never, and you saw two. You saw two by a defense isn't very good. No, by a defense that's bad.
You could take out
by a defense that's bad.
Yes.
However, even with a bad defense, that defender for Oklahoma made a play on McKivitz. Beat the block, knocks the ball loose, picks up, runs it in. I mean, they still got, even though they're in disarray, they still got some guys, and a guy made a play. But to get two in a game, that's the game.
Amazing. Amazing. I'll give you two others that we have to get into here, because I think I would agree with him. Those are the two that jump out at you. So now if you go to the next layer, I thought a couple penalties that were called, and this is not going to, believe me, this is not going to turn into the officials blew everything situation, because there were still opportunities to win. But I think you go back to two things. One is the Greer offense, or the Sills offensive pass interference call earlier in the game that was taken away as a pick. That was a touchdown. It was pulled back, turns into a third and long for West Virginia. They complete the pass to set up a fourth and medium, but don't convert the fourth down and walk away in a game when clearly you needed points. You walk away with no points. It was only the second time all year, the second drive all year, a team inside the red zone didn't get points on Oklahoma. So that was a
massive. It was the right call.
I don't know.
He knocked the guy down.
I don't know. Go back and watch that. I don't know, Hoppy. I don't know that it was. There's a back judge staring right at it, and I get why that's called. But that Oklahoma defender reaches. Sills had his arms up like, I'm not running into you. That could have been acting. I don't know. That was questionable. And then, of course, the second penalty that really hurt West Virginia was T.J. Simmons called for excessive blocking, pushing the guy 15 yards out of bounds, knocking him down, that negated a giant Kennedy McCoy run that would have given West Virginia first and goal inside the 10, that had that place rocking, as you can attest to. Those are two major moments right there that really cost.
Yeah, I agree with you. So my thought on, first off, I want to bring up a topic that you guys have not brought up yet. And it just still makes me just shake my head in disbelief. And that was the targeting call that wasn't called when Marcus Sims was knocked out and taken out of the game. You can tell, and although it's early, you could tell that Marcus Sims was ready to go. I've watched him enough now. I know that when he catches it and he's got that spin move and he starts taking, I've sensed that he was ready to go. And then based on his reaction after he was told he wasn't going to play in the game, you could tell that he was more than ready to go. But my thought on that is this. I was stunned and shocked that they did not call that targeting. And I can get it if they missed it on the field because it happens bang, bang. But when you have a player down, and you have a long time to review that play, and you don't buzz down on the field and say, hang on a second, we're taking a look at that. That just blows my mind. And someone makes that call, and it doesn't necessarily have to be in Morgantown. They're at the Big 12 headquarters there on their replay monitors. Everyone's seeing that play. I asked about it at halftime. They claimed that the player didn't launch. I guess I could let one fly here since it's a podcast, but I'm not. I just say this. You are so hypocritical, football world, when you say you want to take away helmet from helmet contact and you don't call that. That is absolutely just a disgrace that a kid gets knocked out because you had a guy go with the crown of his helmet and knock somebody out, and you don't take that player out.
It's only a couple points. I think you look at it, I think you did launch a little bit. I think there was some launch there. It was helmet to helmet. If it's going to be a point of emphasis, why don't you call it? You would defer to calling it than not calling it. We've seen a ton of plays this year where West Virginia got called for targeting. We watch it, Brad, and we go, Yeah, that's targeting. You're gonna. I mean, you don't defend it if it's targeting, and it is so inconsistent the way it's called. And that was clearly a targeting case in a game like that. They should have thrown the flag.
All right, so you just said a key word there, and I tweeted when it happened. I was confused by that because to me that was the definition of targeting. It wasn't just targeting; it was the definition of crown of the helmet, helmet to helmet. I mean, I don't know how you can not launch if you led with the crown of the helmet. So I thought that was the definition. You hit the key word there though, and it's inconsistency. That's what we keep coming back to. And anytime you lose in a game that's like this and it's this close, you can go find some calls in there that you say why. Why did you make those? Why didn't you make those? And that's where you start to find those inconsistencies. And I think that's what you'll find on the offensive pass interference call. Could you have called it? Yeah, you did. Could you not have called it? Yeah. There was a play later in the game, a big possession for West Virginia, where Trayvon Wesco goes right across the middle and goes into the middle linebacker with both hands, moves him out of the way, that cleared a path for David Sills to come in right behind him and make the catch. There's an official sitting right over Sills. No call. That would seem to be a pick play as well. So you call one and not the other. It's the inconsistency, I think, that makes coaches lose their mind in those situations more than anything else.
The other call was the TJ Simmons blocking after the play had passed by him and after he took him into the sideline. To me, I can completely understand why he got busted. And it's kind of like the kid that you tell in study hall to knock it off. And knock it off, and knock it off, and he doesn't knock it off, and finally you ring him up. Referees, officials watch tape before games to get ready, and they see teams, right? Especially when you're in league play. You're going to see everyone that you're going to eventually do. You're constantly seeing. And that was not the first time TJ Simmons had taken players out and absolutely dusted them on the sideline. They see that, okay? They see that. Kercheval's driving the red Ferrari. He keeps speeding down the interstate. Watch out for him. They've got him there. The game goes. He continues on a couple of occasions to do it out of bounds again. They go and they warn him and pull him out a couple of different times. Get out of here off the Oklahoma sideline. Get out of here. Play's over. Get out of here. During a timeout, they come over and they told Dana Holgorsen, I'm telling you now, We're watching number one. He keeps doing this and whatever they said to him. And I saw it and I said it when they were telling Dana. And then I watched Dana go over and tell Simmons, listen, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, knock it off or whatever. You better watch out. Going to watch it. So then here comes the big play. And they've been watching number one all game long. And so the official's trailing the play. And there goes Kennedy McCoy sprinting down the sideline. And the official's watching TJ Simmons, number one block. And he sees him take him into the sideline.
And he's hawking him. You can see him hawking
him. Yeah, he's looking straight at him. He's looking straight at him. I told you not to speed on the interstate in your red Ferrari. I told you not to speed. And then he looks over, and he's just continuing to drill him out of bounds. And he said, there's the flag.
Yeah.
Well, I told you. So here's my thing. Here's my thing. In life. Right? I take these things and I always put the big picture on them, right? Two points on life here. One, number one, moderation is the key to successful living. Don't do anything extreme. What he was doing was extreme. He could have moderately done that. Knocked the guy out of bounds.
I agree.
He was done, right? And another key in life is this, self-awareness. Be aware of what's going on around you. You were warned. They're watching you. They told you. That's a life lesson as well.
Yeah,
to me,
completely.
I completely got it. I thought it was a. If he had not been acting the way that he was acting prior to the game and during the game, they don't make that call.
I think, and so ultimately, that's right. And the multiple warnings is what gets you in trouble. Unfortunately. You're just coming off a game last week when you absolutely got manhandled by Oklahoma State and you weren't physical enough to fight back their physicality at that particular position. Not talking about linebacker against their offensive line. At that particular position, you weren't physical enough. Number two, back to consistency. Again, some of this is negated by the pregame warning or the warning in game, but there's video floating around of the exact same block against TCU. Simmons against TCU. Running him into a further part than what he did Saturday with an official trailing behind, watching it to go in and separate him, but not throw a flag. So throw a flag. But throw a flag.
But here's my deal, dude. Here's my deal.
Be consistent.
Here's my deal.
I know you're going to say that was his one chance to say, don't do it again or we're flagging.
No, how do you know that the Big 12 didn't highlight
they
that play
have.
And sent it to
they
all the officials and said, hey, guys, this wasn't called. It should be called.
Yeah, they may have.
That's how that happens.
They may. I'm just saying this. Ultimately, yes, you're right. He should have disengaged. You're clear. You're behind the play. It's out. Let go. Move on. Ultimately, if you're putting blame meters somewhere, that's what should have happened. Disengage. At the same time, I'm just saying my overall point. Just be consistent in calls.
I don't disagree
just
with you.
Be consistent in calls.
These are all valid points. But you know what? Don't give up 59 points. You know, beat Oklahoma State.
How about 45?
45, yes. 45, yes.
Well, hold on. Don't misunderstand. I'm not making excuses. I'm not blaming officials. We're talking about points in the game. He asked about points that changed the tenor of the game. There's zero question that particular play / call changed the game. I'm not blaming officials here, so don't misconstrue what I'm saying.
If you want to go back, and we already hit on this one, but going forward on fourth down and six instead of taking the 3 points, to me, the easy out for everybody now is take the points, take the points.
Go for it.
That wasn't going to happen. He told me before the game, I talked to him that morning, and he said, pretty much inside the 50-yard line, he said, we're going for it.
Zero question.
Yeah.
We talked about that. I criticized Lincoln Riley for kicking the field goal when he did at that moment. I mean, that could have bit him in the butt. You go for it.
You go for it. I mean, you know you're going to have trouble stopping people. You know it's going to be a lot of score. You go for it. You're there inside. You go for it. No question. No problem at all with that
heck,
call.
I'd go further. I'm not going to sit up here and criticize that. I was calling for an onside kick earlier.
Yeah.
Earlier than when they did it. You're not stopping them anyway. Just go ahead and give them a shorter field score, get the ball back.
Let me ask you this. How doggone good is Kyler Murray?
As advertised.
Oh, whoa.
As advertised.
Isn't it amazing he'll never be a pro quarterback, but how good he can be at the college level?
I'm not sure. You know, he's...
No, Hoppy. Hoppy, if he was here, see this countertop? He wouldn't be able to get over it. I mean, he wouldn't be able to see over it. The guy's a freak.
That third down and long play, when he busted outside contained, when David Long is right there, and he breaks outside on that touchdown run. He went for a touchdown. Poor Toyus Avery was within 3 yards of him and didn't get a hand on him. That's how good the shake was. Never mind the speed to get outside. He was as advertised. That offense was as advertised.
And Marquise Brown, 5, the Hollywood Brown.
He's a freak.
Holy hell. And they had him pinned on that sideline on his touchdown. Had him done, cooked, out, done.
I mean, how good would they be if their defense was, if they had Iowa State's defense?
Yeah.
Win the national championship.
And the thing is, again, what we said going in, it's not Kyler Murray's ability to throw, although he threw it for 364 and 3. That's not even the amazing part. It's just simply their ability, Oklahoma's, to run the football. And once again, for what, the fifth time in 6 years, they went over 300 yards against West Virginia. West Virginia just doesn't win in those scenarios. It's 1-9 now in the Big 12 when giving up 300 yards or more on the ground. The only win was against Kansas.
And those offensive linemen, they have that tremendous offensive line. And so a couple of those pass plays, it took a while for those to develop. But Murray had a lot of time back there looking around, finds a guy, wait till the guy breaks in the end zone after running 40 yards down the field and hits him.
Next topic, West Virginia and the bowl game. We'll have to wait till it officially becomes news this coming Sunday. But there is speculation that it could be potentially, who knows, NC State. So the game that was blown away there in September potentially could be played. I got a note from a guy at Syracuse, thought maybe Syracuse and West Virginia. I don't know. We'll wait and see. The question becomes this. Who plays for West Virginia and who doesn't play for West Virginia in the bowl game? And here comes the biggest two-on-one jump on Tony. Go right ahead. So the new thing is – it's not the new thing. How many years has it been now? Guys start stopping playing bowl games.
3 years.
4 years?
I lose track.
3, 4?
Something like that.
3, 4. Relatively new. Guys say, not going to play in the bowl game. And real simple, I just don't understand that. And I don't get it. I think that you're committed. You play with your team. It's all about your team. It's your legacy with your team. You guys sweat together. You work out together. To say I'm not going to play, to me, it just doesn't sit well at all. You two guys disagree.
Go ahead.
I disagree, Tony, but only a part. I mean, he hasn't said, and I'd like to see him play in the bowl game.
Which one are we talking about?
Will Greer.
Oh, okay.
Will Greer. And if I had to guess, I would guess that he does play, but I don't know that. But what do you think the value has been of Will Grier to this university and this program? Could you even put a number on it?
No. Enormous.
It's enormous. And has he gotten a check for that? I don't think he has. I don't think he's gotten a check for it, despite the tremendous value he's brought to the university. He's done his part. He's done his part. He didn't come here to get a degree in engineering. He came here because he wanted to play in the NFL, and this was a good stop for him in an with an offensive-minded coaching staff where he could step in and be the quarterback. And that's what he's done, and he's given West Virginia fans more highlights than they could ever imagine. Why go out and risk your career in a game that's essentially meaningless? And the guy, so I say if he decides not to play, I wish he would, but if he decides not to play in a bowl game, I say, I don't blame you. Good luck with the rest of your career.
You know, I side with Kercheval on that. I've been pretty consistent about this from Christian McCaffrey to Justin Crawford to down the line. If they don't want to play and risk further injury for what comes next, I'm not going to sit up here and criticize. I'm with you. I would obviously like to see Sills, Grier, Kajust go down the line. David Long, if he's thinking about leaving, I'd like to see all of them play. But I will not criticize any of them if they don't. But Grier would kind of surprise me.
It would surprise me too.
Given all the goodwill that's built up and what his image and reputation is, it would surprise me if he didn't. But I won't criticize if he chooses to not play.
All right.
I'm not criticizing. I mean, I
would imagine. I would imagine he's got a pretty nice insurance policy that he's had with him all season long. Just, you know, God forbid if something does happen. But I don't know, man.
I know what you're saying, Tony. I think that's in fact. I did a online poll today, and it was 80-20 that they thought he should play in the bowl game.
Most people will.
Most people say that. But I'm telling you, this big time college athletics. You know what's Dana Holgorsen make? $3-4 million.
What
the assistant coaches make? They're raising $100 million for athletic facilities. This is the coach didn't make $50,000 a year, and ticket prices aren't $8. Okay, people are pushing a lot of money into this, and they're getting a lot of entertainment value from a guy who's not making a dime. Okay, they're paying for his apartment or whatever, and he's getting his tuition. So he's not getting a dime. So I don't think he owes. I think he's done everything he needs to. He doesn't owe the university anything. Now I think he'll stay connected to West Virginia. I don't think he owes West Virginia anything.
Next topic. I also saw had a little Twitter poll in regard to Dana Holgorsen's name being mentioned for job opportunities. And in essence, what your poll said that it was over 70%, right, that would be somewhat disappointed or very disappointed if he were to leave at this point.
Tony, if you talk amongst yourselves for a minute, I can actually access that that poll.
Senator, are you concerned that Dana's going to leave?
Give me the side that says Dana Holgorsen will be West Virginia's coach in 2019. I'll take that side of it.
So you're not concerned?
I think Dana Holgorsen will be the coach here next year.
Okay.
Here was the poll. Oh, by the way, should Will Grier play in the bowl game? 1,500 responses in.
That's a pretty good survey size.
Yeah, 77% yes, 23% no as to whether he will play in the bowl game. Will Grier play in the bowl game? 77% say yes, 23% say no. Metro News Talk Line poll. WVU coach Dana Holgorsen is being mentioned for jobs at Texas Tech, which we know now is not the case. Colorado and Louisville. How would you feel if he took another job? 37% very disappointed. This is 1,200 responses in. 37% very disappointed. 35% somewhat disappointed. 14% somewhat pleased. 14% very pleased.
So 72%
right
would be somewhat or very.
Somewhat or very disappointed if he took another job. So, you know, he's got, despite the disappointment, according to that unofficial, unscientific poll, he's got a lot of people in his corner.
Yeah, absolutely. North Carolina's done. Welcome back, Mac Brown.
Shocking.
That is amazing.
Shocking. If that gets to the finish line, that's shocking. As we're taping this right now, they said negotiations were underway, so that generally means they're going to get home. But that's a surprise.
Why do you say that?
Why do I say that?
You think
that?
He's done?
Guy's been out of the coaching for 5 years.
You know, he's younger than Roy Williams.
67 years old.
Younger than
Roy Williams.
Than Les Miles, about the same age.
Same age as Les Miles, yeah, younger than a Saban.
He does seem older, though, doesn't he?
It shows again, though.
Coaches.
They just have to coach, man. Most of them have to coach.
That's 22 years ago West Virginia played him.
Wow. Right? No. That's hard to believe.
Played North Carolina in that bowl game, I should say.
Texas was a really good job, but he left in part because it was such a basketball school.
Am I right? 96 he was the coach?
96.
Yeah, 96 he was good. Oscar Davenport.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, beat the Mountaineers. Dre Bly had an interception on the far side.
Yeah, wasn't a fumble by Zaraway either. Talk about officials screwing things up. Wasn't a fumble that cost West Virginia that game. Do you think Mac will be okay? I mean, he's older now, so he's in the twilight of his career. You think at a basketball school, you think he's okay that they wear a basketball logo on their football uniforms? They're Jordan, Hoppy, so they wear the Jordan logo, and he's holding a basketball, just like Oklahoma had on the other night.
Plus, they got rid of those classes they had, those mystery classes.
Those no, they still have too. Those. No,
oh, do they?
Oh, yeah, they can still get
well, you
those.
You know, look, I think that poll was a little bit surprising, frankly, especially with the way this season ended. But, you know, West Virginia this year, this was the year, right?
This was the year.
The teams that West Virginia, the Power Five teams that West Virginia beat have a combined record of 39-45. Okay. I mean, think about that for a second. 39-45.
That's a significant stat. There's no question.
Tennessee 5-7, Kansas State 5-7. Texas Tech 5-7, Kansas 3-9, Baylor 6-6, Texas 9-3. It's your biggest win. TCU 6-6.
We've got bowl game stuff to do. We've got more podcasts to do as we get closer, so we can talk more about what comes next. But this will be something to watch. What does West Virginia do now moving forward, coming off a season when you had all of those things lined up, all of those offensive stars, the league really coming back to the pack? This was a league that provided some golden opportunities to win it, as we saw, and you don't get to the finish line. What happens next? How fast can this group reload? How fast can you stay or get back or stay in the discussion of one of the two or three best teams in the league?
I mean, if you can, I mean, if you would like to think that West Virginia is back in competition again next year, but are you going to be, or are you going to be just down substantially because Will Grier's gone? You know, you finished fourth in the league.
Yeah, that's what's hard.
Fourth?
Your two chances to get into the Big 12 title game don't and slip to fourth in the league.
It's immaterial. If you're not one or two, it really doesn't matter. I know what you're saying. I mean, matter? No, the three doesn't matter. So here's the scary thing about it. So if you take a look just at the league, think Oklahoma will be big time down next year? No, right? Think Oklahoma State will be big time down next year? No, they've been sitting out with a quarterback that they let Taylor Cornelius be the quarterback this year because they got an absolute rock star waiting to go.
Yep.
They got a rock star waiting to go. Texas Tech, obviously, it's going to be on the build back up.
But
Bowman,
they've got a great quarterback.
They've got a great quarterback.
Yeah.
And Bowman
lit it up this year.
Cliff Kingsbury's still the coach today at Texas Tech if West Virginia doesn't knock Bowman out and give him the series of injuries which didn't allow him to finish. He'd be the head coach. Texas, you think they're going to get better or get worse?
Stop there for a minute. To me, they are clearly not back. Texas is absolutely not back. They're rebuilding back. And they find themselves in the Big 12 championship game. That to me, of all the things that are hard to swallow from a West Virginia perspective, that to me is the one that really gets you.
Because how does
that
Texas
group is not back? They gacked it to Maryland to start. You beat them. They're not back. I'm gonna keep saying they're not back yet, and they're in the Big 12 title game.
And you're right. They jump over you, right? I mean, they're rebuilding and they jump over you when you're having your peak year.
Boy, I didn't.
Yeah, that does hurt.
Didn't know that.
You're not surprised Oklahoma's in the championship game.
No, they should.
They should be.
Didn't know that would set you guys off. I think Baylor will be better. Baylor did a heck of a job, right? Got to six wins.
Got to six. Like, after being devastated, Matt Rule gets them to a bowl game in the second year. That's incredible.
They'll be better. Iowa State.
Maybe should be coach of the year.
Yeah.
Iowa State. In the league? Maybe.
I think Iowa State will be better. Brock Purdy, he'll be there forever. TCU, you think Gary Patterson will be down again? No. He's down and he wins six. What he did on Saturday to beat Oklahoma State—that's
incredible.
He should be coach of the year.
He should get some votes.
They're going to go to a bowl game. They'll probably get some guys back. They'll probably win the bowl game.
They still need to find a quarterback for next year, but that defense will be back. Yes, they'll be better.
I mean, the only two teams in the loop that you could say you're not sure about are Kansas, is it's going to be on a rebuild, and Kansas State. You don't know what's going to happen there. I mean, other than that,
heck, West Virginia may have the third most questions. Behind Kansas and Kansas State. You're looking at an all-time great, leaving at quarterback. Two of your top six guys, wide receiver-wise, production-wise, they're gone. You lose how many offensive linemen? A couple of them might be in the pros.
Yeah.
I mean, I think West Virginia comes in with as many question marks in the league as almost anybody next year.
And that's a problem because it means that one of the things that really benefited West Virginia this year is you managed to be in the national discussion all year.
Yeah, every week of the season.
Every week you were in the national, even in the playoff discussion for about a week or two there.
Yes.
Right? And next year, boy, you're just not going to be in the discussion. You're not going to be in the discussion. You're not going to be preseason top 25. You're not going to be picked to win the league or finish second. You're going to have to really fight and claw to get into the national discussion.
You know, if you want to keep playing the what if, because we'll do that now for 9 months of the offseason.
Go ahead, just keep punching me.
If you want to keep playing the what if.
Make me feel bad.
Because all year we kept saying, chaos is coming, chaos is coming. And then we click off these November weeks with no chaos coming. West Virginia, when you look at its two losses late here in the season, games that were right there for the taking and wins, right? And to be playing, to be sitting right now, to be playing in the Big 12 championship game, you'd be squarely in the playoff discussion again. It would be a discussion about the winner of the Big 12 championship has a good case for the college football playoff, given you saw two teams, Michigan go out, right? LSU's out of the mix that was right above you. You'd be squarely in that discussion,
and
too.
And they'd be talking about the game you didn't play against NC State.
They would.
I don't know about that NC State
but
game.
I'd rather be outraged about getting left out because you didn't get the NC State game in than you would be losing two of your last games and not getting a shot at the Big 12 title.
And now you have, I guess you're going to play Syracuse or North Carolina State and you're going to go to Orlando or somewhere.
Don't lock Orlando in yet. I mean, go read the Ames newspaper today. The Citrus Bowl folks were there in Iowa City at the Iowa game talking. They may have some interest in setting up an Iowa State-Iowa doubleheader, in essence, because those games are only a couple days apart.
Now, Kirk Ferentz go 8-4?
He got a $500,000 bonus for going 8-4, by the way. He's got a nice agent, whoever his agent is.
Now, are you being serious?
I am being serious.
He gets $500,000 for winning 8 games.
Correct. He got another bonus.
That's such a disgrace.
So anyway, bowl games are still up in the air here because you saw what Iowa State did going to the Liberty Bowl last year, taking $40,000 or so. West Virginia, for a long, long time in the Big East, was the premier not only program, but premier in terms of bowl game interest because of the travel. Now you've got not only Texas and Oklahoma you're fighting with in your league, but you've also got an Iowa State team that travels really well, as you saw last year.
Think about this bowl game for a second. Let's say, and again, getting back to the value of Will Grier, what do you think the ticket sale differential will be if Will Grier doesn't play in the bowl game?
$3,500 to $5,000.
Yeah, at how much?
So if it's on the East Coast, it'd be 3,500 tickets.
So there's one way to assess value.
Let me go further than tickets sold. What is the interest from the TV networks if you take a West Virginia team with no Will Grier at the helm versus Will Grier at the helm? I mean, the bowl games will tell you now. A lot of these outside of the New Year's Six will tell you it's TV related, even more so than ticket sale related.
Oh, yeah.
And you don't have Will Grier? If that were a scenario. I'll believe that when I see it.
As we wrap, we normally don't do this while we record, but we're going to, you know, like when these boards get together and they go into executive session, you know, they close the door and you can't. We're going to have a conversation with Hoppy now.
We are open to the press. We don't have executive sessions.
Since football's over, Hop, listen.
Am I being let go?
My buyout happens to be very substantial.
You better find another podcast quickly that's interested in bringing you in to try some leverage here on your guy, because I think you're about to get pushed out. You need me to step in as your agent here?
Would you prepare for this.
You needed to leak that you were a candidate for some other podcasts.
The Alan Taylor podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
Sweet Spot. Hey, listen, Sweet Spot's talking to me. Talking to Sweet Spot, guys. I just want to let you know.
Unfortunately, Sweet Spot has not reached out to me.
We encourage everyone to listen to Sweet Spot with its new co-host, Hoppy Kirchival. No.
Am I out? Are you letting me go?
No. But
you are.
Well, yeah. No. Listen. The leaves are changed. They've come off the tree. Basketball season is going. And
I listened to you the other day. I have a rudimentary knowledge of basketball.
We'd love to have you until you leave for the legislative session. Now, when does that start this year?
Early January.
This is an early January one this year? Okay. So, yeah, you're in, man. I mean, we'll figure out what's going to happen. Are we going Thursday again, Senator? Going to go Thursday? Senator kind of lays the land down.
TBD.
Oh, really?
Ooh.
TBD. What do you think, Harv?
Oh, you got to go twice a week.
Oh, Harv says good. I like it.
Well, he's about out of a job. Yeah, he wants to go twice a week.
All right, so we're coming back. So we're going to do a little football.
We'll do it Thursday.
By the time we come back to you. Yeah, by the time we come back.
Yeah, there's stuff to talk about.
And by the way, let me tell you all this. Because it was the weekend where a lot of people came back into the area for the games that normally don't get the opportunity for Thanksgiving and things like that. Senator, now you ran into someone.
I did.
The big podcast listener. Where was he from? It was
Phoenix.
Down the street there in Arizona.
I happen to be back in the suit, sport coat area, just looking around as I do at times.
Are you there every day?
Over at Daniel's.
Well, that's the fun part for a listener. If you want to come up, just pop over. You never know. Tony and I might pop out of the suit rack on you, as I did Saturday. A younger gentleman was big listener. He cashed in the discount, had a bunch of, had a bag full of Mountaineer
stuff. So Phil gave
him
the 30% off.
He did, for listening to the podcast. That's all he said was, I listened to three guys. I heard that, like the bat signal going off. I came zipping around from looking at the sport coat I was looking at. Hoppy, hey, nice to meet you. Thanks for listening.
Did he give you a double take?
He did. He stepped back. Like, he kind of gave me a step back, like, oh, hey.
So, and by the way, that's still in existence, 30% off all the WVU gear at Daniel's Menswear, University Avenue. Just tell them you listen to the podcast, Three Guys Before the Game, and say hello to fine-looking Phil, Rory, Rusty, or Joan. They're all there waiting to service you. And then I had a guy as well. Several people came up to me that are out of the state that came in for the holiday. So it was good. And they enjoy the podcast. This means something to people literally overseas. They are listening. It keeps them close to home. And it's good. So we appreciate everyone listening in, and we'll be
back. That's
why
it hurts so much being pushed out.
Well, no, you're in. You're in. You're,
like, I'm like Mac Brown. I'm just desperate for a gig.
Listen, there's another chair. Is there another chair? What? How many microphones? Yeah, there's a whole other chair. We can bring Nate Adrian in.
I can't. That's Nate Adrian is about 150 times more qualified than I am, though. I have no problem. If you replace me with Nate I'm okay with that.
We're not going to do it until you want to go away, until you have to go to the legislative session. Then we'll probably not have you on because you're just not here, and then we'll bring in Nate in. Because
we have a load of football to still talk about up until the bowl game.
And so by the time we get together on Thursday, a lot of stuff will have settled. These coaching openings, plus West Virginia's. You think we'll have a better feel for the bowl by then?
Weekend, right?
I know it's this weekend, but do you think by Thursday we'll start to get a lean? Like, won't they contact the ticket office and get them ready?
Remember, some of the Big 12 still has to do with where's Texas and West Virginia rank? Can they sneak into a New Year's Six? You know, if Oklahoma wins and goes into the playoff.
Here's what's going to happen. Oklahoma's going to win the Big 12 championship. Texas is going to go to the Sugar Bowl.
Yeah.
And everyone else is going to be up one spot because.
So then can West Virginia get in the Alamo Bowl in that particular situation?
Oh, really?
Over Iowa State? Alamo Bowl would be a nice.
That would be.
That'd be fun.
Yeah, that would be a good game.
Pac-12 opponent.
Say Washington State. What about Dana Holgorsen against Mike Leach?
Now
that'd
you
be
got
great
a story.
Television.
Now you got a story.
Be great TV.
How about the press conference for that bad boy? Forget the game.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That would be worth the price of admission. All right.
That's what you want in a bowl game. You want an attraction.
Everyone wants an attraction. That'd be an attraction.
That'd be an attraction.
All right. Thanks so much for being with us, everyone. We sincerely listen. Appreciate you guys listening in. Share the word about the podcast. We'll be back again on Thursday for the Senator, for the Hopster. We're out. Be good, and we'll see you down the road.